Opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to another edition of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And I'm your host, Minister Martin DeValley. I'm here along with my beautiful wife, Nicole Valle.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Amen.
It's a good Wednesday, a good day.
I know, a break from that rain. And it's been raining like every day.
Every day. You know, this goes back to the wintertime.
Wow.
The wintertime. And I could almost count the days. The actual day it snowed or rained, and it was Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday since like January. It's crazy. Yep.
Well, you know, we do need the rain. I remember this, the song we used to sing, "Send Down the Rain, Lord, Send Down the Latter Rain." And it would say, "We need your rain, Lord. We need your latter rain."
Wow.
My mom used to take me to the Deliverance Evangelistic Tent Revivals when our senior pastor, Reverend Benjamin Smith, amen, wonderful, wonderful man of God. I had the privilege and opportunity to sit underneath him, and all he gave us was Jesus. He never stole the glory. He never stole his praise. If you don't know nothing else, you gonna know Jesus underneath Reverend Dr. Benjamin Smith ministry. May God just as God continuously bless his work. Amen. His work is still
living on.
So I'd like to say God bless you to my friends at Deliverance Evangelistic Church down there on 22nd and Lehigh. God bless you. You are in our prayers and we look forward, amen, to connecting.
Fellowship,
amen,
with you.
Amen.
Amen. So the latter rain came from Deliverance, huh?
Yes, yes. That's where a lot of my, my grooming have come from, Deliverance,
mm-hmm.
where we was exposed to the power of the Holy Ghost and people being delivered from the bondage of captivity. So I thank God for that ministry. And it's not to say that I still didn't get caught up in bondage and I still didn't get caught up in captivity, but I knew that no matter what place I was in life, that there was a dunamis. There was the power of the Holy Ghost that was able to rescue me.
Amen.
At any time, amen, I was willing to confess and to let go and let God. Amen. And you might be in a situation today, amen, where you find yourself in captivity. Amen. Captivity in your mind, captivity to your thoughts, captivity, amen, being connected to different people, not being able to break free and be you. Some people have actually lost their identity, Amen. You're trying to be everybody else for so long, you really don't know how to be you. Amen. And sometimes you need, amen, the power of God to come into your life, amen, and to reintroduce you to yourself.
Amen. Amen. That's true. That is definitely true. So today, we just like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth here on WWDB 860 AM. Again, with Minister Martin D. Valley and myself, Nicole Valley. Today, we have a interesting topic, and at first when we were dialoguing about it, I was like, couldn't see what was the difference between the two. And our today's topic is praise versus worship.
Amen.
And we mean that worship.
In such a respectful, it's not a competition. When we say praise worth, it's not like two boxers meeting each other in a ring, to see who's going to win. But worship, what is the level of praise and what is the level of worship?
Right.
Amen. They do work together. They should, at least work together, anyhow. So we kind of just want to examine, amen, or take a closer look at, amen, the difference between, amen, praise and the difference between, amen, worship.
Amen. Amen. So for all our new listeners, just to give you a little synopsis of Rightly Divided, the Word of Truth, is a broadcast ministry.
Yes.
That, this platform here on WWDB 860 AM is our broadcast ministry, but we also have a physical ministry that we will be growing, substantially this coming fall with, different programs for women, men, and our youth. We will, enlighten you on those ministries a little later in the show. But Rightly Divided, the Word of Truth is a ministry that aids to deal with the roots of dysfunction in the American families. This platform will be utilized to get to a lot of the issues that causes hurts, that causes dysfunctions in families, just the root of it. And we petition all ministries, anyone who have a voice or would like to be a testimony that have been delivered from some of the things that they have been through and that may can be a peer motivator to someone else who may still be going through. So right here, this platform, we like to keep it real. We speak from our heart. We don't have the answers to everything. So where we don't have the answers, we will bring in some of our co-laborers in the ministry that, you know, may be more professional in certain counselor areas.
Amen.
And we will connect the dots there. So
yes,
I thank you for tuning in with us. We have a 1-877-TRUTH-45 hotline. So you're welcome to call in that hotline to ask for prayer. If you have any issues or concerns that you would like to share and you just need some opinion about, you know, what you're going through, if you don't have someone else to talk to, we're here for you. So
amen. Amen. Want to thank God for our listeners out in Atlanta. Amen.
Amen.
Atlanta, Georgia, those that are tuning in to us out in Texas, amen. We want to thank God for your prayers, amen. We thank God for those who have been connecting with us through email, amen, your words of encouragement, amen. So we just want to say thank you, amen. And as the Lord continuously to move us forward, we have decided to go wherever God is going to take us.
Yes, we have.
Amen. So when God says your foot's ordered in his, amen, in his word, we saying our foot, Lord, is ordered in your word.
What are your steps,
so
dear Lord?
Amen. Wherever you want to take us, Lord, we will go. Amen.
Amen.
And that's our testimony. Amen. That whatever God wants in our life, we're going to give it to him. Oftentimes God places things in your life and people have the audacity to tell God that something isn't there when it is there. Amen. Amen. And God knows what's in you. The Bible said that the Lord knows the number of the hair that's on your head. And I know that some of us have went bald and God know that the hair that was on your head when you had it. Amen. And God knows what's in you. He knows what, amen, you are capable of. He knows what's going to prune you. He knows what situations that we face in life that is going to make us better. Listen, God is in the business of saving souls, and God is in the business of revealing to you the strength that he placed in you. So oftentimes when you think you're weak, it's because you didn't go through what you need to go through, amen, and able for God to give you the revelation that you are stronger than you really are. You're tougher than you really are. And sometimes it takes, amen, trouble. It takes turmoil, amen, to come into your life to get you in shape so that God can introduce you to you. Amen. So if you're in it, God had already prepared a way for you to get through it. Amen. So that's what we want to talk about today. Amen. About praise. And then we want to talk about worship. Amen. The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. But only folks that been through something and amen, and had some hard times and been through something, amen, for a period of time and dealt with the ups and downs of life, amen, and know that when they failed and when they ran out of gas, amen, that God sustained them, God kept them, and God propelled them to make it to the next level, amen. And when God does something to you, amen, personally, amen, when God does something for you, not for your flesh, we're not talking about a house, we're not talking about a car, we're not talking about clothes, we're not talking about jewelry, but when God has done something for you, something that have reached, amen, the depths of your soul, something that have went behind your eyes and have reached you, your being, amen, that calls about a praise. You know, listen, if I didn't get the job, I still got God. That brings about a worship. Worship is uncontrollable. I'm not trying to be cute with this thing here. Amen. My praise is the stepping stone to worship. It only take a couple. God has been good to me. He's been so good to me. You just don't know. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Oh, when you get there, right there, that God has been better to me than I can possibly be better to myself, we just shift to another level. Now I got to praise him.
Amen.
Oh, that's when folks make makeup run off and your clothes get all dirty. You wind up on the floor. That's when tears start coming from your eyes. You can't hold back. Amen. Not just the thought, but the feeling that if it had not been God on my side, Lord knows where would I have been. Amen. When you know you couldn't get the education and no one was there to help you with the children, and you know that you really didn't qualify for the job, but God, you know, come on now. So we want to talk about God not only wants you to worship him, but God does things for us so that it brings about a worship. And that's a shame that when God does things for us that automatically should bring about a worship, we have the audacity, amen, to go to church and sit down on God. You got some folks that really they too cute to worship God, amen. And then some folks are too embarrassed to worship God. You know, you're ashamed to stand up and say, thank you, Lord. You're ashamed to stand up because you might look around and realize that you're the only one that's standing up. But when God has been that good to you, you don't mind if you're the only one praising him.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Oh, come on. Preacher ain't say much, but he just said one word. And that one word is what God put in your spirit. It's spark, and you're the only one praising him. Mm-hmm. And I ain't worrying about who looking at me.
Amen.
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 Yes.
So, what it sound like and what I have learned from in our communication, I always thought praise and worship was the same, but lifting up your hands, just calling on God for whatever issue you're going through or for how good he has been to you. But when I went through the Bible and I actually looked up the definition, right, it said worship is the art of losing self and the admiration of God.
Lord, have mercy.
Worship is the art of losing self in the adoration of God. Worship can include praying, but worship focuses on who God is, and giving thanksgiving focuses on what God has done for you.
Oh, listen. We're going to get in the Word of God. I want to share something with you in Psalms 100. In Psalms 100, amen. David writes, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That is very powerful what David said, because what David has said is David is a prophet also. Amen. Not only was David a songwriter, not only was David considered, amen, a warrior for the Lord, David was a prophet. Amen. And so David prophesied and said this: anybody who read this word that can tap into the praise of God qualifies to receive everything that God done in my life, in their life. Now, when you begin to study about David in his life, David will tell you that I was a rugged young man. I was hid on the backside of the mountains, and I was tending the sheep, amen, and watching over the sheep and protecting the sheep from wolves and from lions and from bears. And David said, listen, no one really noticed me, and no one really wanted to get to know me. But the David would tell you that one day that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the prophet Samuel and told Samuel to go on down to the house of Jesse, because I got somebody there that know how to praise me, and they've been praising me for a very long time, but I'm about ready to bless their life to where their praise become elevated to worship. What you mean, brother Valley? I'm about ready to bless somebody's life, because I'm going to take a sheep boy that can praise me being a sheep and elevate his praise to worship and make a sheep boy a king. Listen, you got to understand something. God have done something in David's life that took him from praise to worship. Therefore, when David was going to go fight a war, he would say, Lord, shall I go? Listen, shall I go was the worship. The praise was, Lord, I'm going to ask you. But the worship is, Lord, shall I go? I don't care how many Philistines are out there. It could just be me and my few men. But Lord, if you say I'm going to go, in the name of worship, I'm going to go, and I'm going to retrieve everything that's been stolen from me. I'm going to come outside of myself, outside of my being. I'm going to come outside of what I see. It could be 1 against 1,000. It could be 2 against 10,000. It could be 3 against 40,000. But if God said go in my worship, I'm going to go get what the enemy stole from me. And I've got news for you. I'm praising him already as I'm going to go fight the battle. I'm already in worship with God. I'm already in zinc with God. I already know that the battle is already won. I already know that victory is already mine, because God said it, I want it. Because God agreed upon it, it's already mine. So all I'm going to do is just fulfill what God said, so I can give him the worship. Oh, come on now. I can give him the worship in advance.
Amen.
Oh, my
Amen.
Goodness. I just love him, because I worship him for what he's doing in my life. I praise him, amen, for what he's doing in my life. So we're going to, amen, go, amen, to a form of worship. And amen, after we're going to come on right on back, and we're going to get back into this word of God. Amen.
And just know he's God.
And I
Praise God. Welcome back to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Amen. What a song. My name is Minister Martin DeValle. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just because he's God.
He's God.
Wow. He's God. It's, you know what? It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful place to know God.
Yes, it is.
Now, you might not know all of God because God is so deep. He's so wide. But just to have a little bit of God, a little knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is so awesome that God has to give us revelation of God, because your natural mind cannot comprehend God. Lord have mercy. That's why God got to deal with your other brain, your heart. He got to deal with the heart brain, the emotions that comes from the heart. Amen. And God will allow that spirit to become, that spirit man to come alive. Amen. And then God will begin to open that imagination. And through that imagination, God will take you places in the spirit of God. And God will show you things in your imagination. Amen. And bring you right back into reality. Now God says, speak what I've spoken into your imagination. Amen. Speak what I've spoken into your spirit. And tell the people I said this. And tell the people this is what I'm going to do. Amen. Just because He's God, and God is calling the people of this generation to come into a place where you can get to hear from God. We got too many pretenders. Listen, come into a place where you can really hear from God. Amen. Be a part of what God wants you to do. You know, a scripture come to my mind, and I remember that Martha said to Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. Only if you would have been here. And after she got finished pouting, Jesus says to Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection? She said to Jesus, he says, sure, on the last day, you'll resurrect everybody. He said to Martha, he says, listen, I am the resurrection and I'm here today. Go move the stone. When he told Martha to move the stone, the conversation shift. She then had the audacity to tell God that by now Lazarus stink. I'm going to get in trouble on this one. When she assumed he got there late, she praised him. Oh, Lord, if you just would have been here a couple days earlier, I know that Lazarus would have lived and he would have never died. She praised him. But when God gave her the opportunity to now worship him, to participate in his power, to participate in his healing, he says, Martha, move the stone. And she replied and said, but Lord, by this time he stink. Worship takes you from the natural level of praise into the spiritual realm that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all I'm able to think, above all I'm able to fathom, above all I'm able to imagine. God can do more than what my limits of God is. God can do exceedingly and abundantly. He can do so much more. So there is so much more in the world. Worship. There's so much more in the spiritual realm. There's so much more. And when Martha decided to participate in the worshiping, the act, the mighty acts of God, and had the stone removed, it is amazing that how God is so spiritual, but he asked for that carnal worship, that carnal praise. He said, Martha, a woman. See, Martha was the one that had the conversation with him, if you would have been here. And so therefore he said, well, Martha, you're going to worship me today because you're you're going to see something and you're going to participate in something that is not normal. What I'm about ready to do is not normal. Lazarus is not just going to come leaping out of the tomb, but he's going to come out, listen, and rigor mortis ain't going to set in. Listen, everything that naturally should have happened to him while he was dead for those 4 days is not going to happen to him. Listen, the heart will beep again. Sometimes you have been through so much. Listen, you have been through so much where your heart stopped beeping, your heart stopped loving. But when you get into the worship of God, you begin to tell your heart, heart, you're going to beep again. Listen, we're going to praise again. Listen, I was hurt in church. Amen. But my worship says I got to get back there to worship God. Amen. My praise was damaged because of the he say and she sayers. But my worship, come on now, says I got to get back in that atmosphere.
Amen.
I got to get back in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us have stopped going into the place. It is about when many people begin to call on his name, something happens into the atmosphere. When many people function on one accord and begin to call on the name of the Lord, his presence begin to fill that place. And next thing you know, you're in worship. You start speaking in unknown tongues. You start crying and your mascara start falling off of your face. When worship come, you stop drinking. You stop smoking. When worship come, you stop lying and you stop still. When worship come, you don't give your attitude victory. Can I get in trouble? When you learn to worship God, you stop worshiping your nasty attitude. When you learn to worship God, you stop worshiping your disposition. When you learn how to worship God,
Amen.
You no longer worship where you're at in life, but you're worshiping because God is God no matter what happened. It's not conditional. It's whether he do it or not, he's still God.
He's still God.
Whether he fix it or not, he still is a fixer. Come on now. Worship takes you to another realm in the spirit of God.
Amen. Yes, it does.
It ain't about the tangible. No, worship is, if he done it for you, I know he can do it for me.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we want to pray for all of our listeners, Lord, that you have allowed to tune in at this specific time. Lord, we thank God for those who just tuned in by just turning on the station, God. We thank you for all of God, our partners who have been sharing, amen, that we are on the air, amen, 860 a.m. from 3 to 5, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we minister your word by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that your word go out and begin to perform miracles, amen, in the lives of the people that you would have to tune in to us, Lord. We thank you, God, for waking us up, and God bless blessing us to be able to come here and serve you by serving your people. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that those who are going through, Lord God, that you bless them, that you touch them. Lord, we ask that this word, God, does something in their lives. It turn dead places and make dead places come alive. Lord, we believe you for miracles, Lord. God, we believe you for restoration, Lord. Do these things and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. So we read, it says that David in Psalms 100 began to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Do you know that a lot of us miss God because we entered into his gates with an attitude? We enter into his gates gossiping. We entered into its gates wondering who preaching this Sunday, who's going to teach Bible study this Wednesday. We miss the power of God. And some of us are willing to exchange the power of God for entertainment. Mm-hmm. Because somebody know how to get a little hype when they preach the word of God. We miss that. We run to the altar because somebody preached a wonderful sermon, but have no power in the ministry of healing. And when somebody to just talk, but God is anointed to heal, call for folks to come to get healed, no one wants to come.
Ouch.
We have missed God. How can you miss God even in the house of God?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the house of God, you gotta go with a made up mind that I'm not coming here just to hear the choir. I'm coming here and I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Amen.
I'm coming here to give him thanks because I watched some things on the news and I realized that some folks got into car accidents. And then some other folks just didn't wake up this morning, but I'm here. God allowed me to wake up this morning. And for that reason alone, I got to be thankful. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Listen, come into his presence with praises, not complaining. Not always asking him to bless you, your job, bless your house, bless you with a new car. There are some folks that only look at God as though he's some symbolical Santa Claus. God is a loving parent. And if you want God to bless you, you ought to figure out ways of how you can bless him. And so some of the ways that we bless him is we praise him. We just praise him through our lips of clay. Not so much reminding God, but reminding the elements and reminding everything that's in my life that I owe him gratitude. I owe him thank you. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I owe him. I might not have a personal relationship with him, but the fact of the matter is that if I woke up this morning, I owe him. I might not know him on a personal level. I may have never spoken tongues. I may not read my word, but I know that if I'm breathing today, that I ought to be thankful. You know, if somebody came and offered you $100 and you don't know him, you're going to say what?
Thank you.
You're going to show some gratitude. And so God have done great things for you, saved or unsaved. Your own thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Even when you're going through.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. My God.
Things ain't going your way, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. Mm-hmm. You alone are worthy. Do you know what elevate your praise to God is when things aren't going well in your life.
Hello.
Praise him. When you don't get the good news, you still worship him. That troubles everything in the spiritual realm. Because naturally, you don't thank somebody for doing the opposite of what you thought they would do.
Or done.
Mm-hmm. But when you can worship him, in spite of damaging news, in spite of what it looks like, that's when worship has become elevated.
Amen.
Because I'm not worshiping you based upon what you've done. I'm worshiping you based upon what you are capable of doing.
Amen.
I'm worshiping you because your potentials are unlimited. You move when you get good and ready to move. And whenever you move, you adjust time as though, Lord, time waits on you. You don't wait on time. Everything waits till you decide to move. I got to praise him for that. You know, when you want a job and you didn't get the job, you don't get upset with God. You just say, Lord, I thank you because you got a better job coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. When that mind and that spiritual mind becomes elevated, amen, and you just give God the glory in spite of.
Amen. That's true. That's true. And that's a learn. That's having a relationship with God, I would say.
Yes. Yes.
That's
listen.
Having a relationship.
Listen. A relationship with God. David had a relationship with God. He knew that he should not have had the strength or the ability to wrestle a lion, to fight a bear, to save a sheep. But he didn't know God.
but he knew something wasn't right. I've just wrestled a bear and saved a sheep. These were stories. These was events that happened in David's life that he did not immediately run down and tell his father and tell his brothers, because they didn't believe half the stuff that David said.
Wow.
So David would begin to write songs because he did not have a personal relationship, but he had a relationship. He had a relationship based upon experiences. Abraham had a relationship based upon hearing. I've heard the voice of God. He called me to leave Haran, and I left Haran, and I followed the Lord, and he said that he was going to bless me. He said that he was going to keep me. And so I followed him, and because I heard his voice and I followed him, he blessed me because I heard his voice. He blessed me because I followed the voice that I've heard. So Abraham had established a relationship based upon hearing the voice of God. He've established a spiritual ear that when God spoke, Abraham heard it. And based upon God's word, Abraham left one place and went to another place. Amen. And David experienced the magnificent power of God by experiencing things. He didn't hear, go get a stick, go get a brick. All he know is something came upon him and he went and rescued a sheep out of what? Trouble. Amen. He didn't have no idea that one day God would use David, amen, to become a king and rescue the children of Israel, who was considered as sheeps in the eyesight of God, from heathens and pagans, from Philistines, amen, that would capture them and try to destroy them. He had no idea that God was, amen, raising him up from a praise point of view to getting him to a worship point of view, that when people want to begin to know who God is because of what David is doing. And so David experienced the power of God. It did not become personal to David till later on. It became personal when David, amen, was being prepared for worship. The Bible says that David went to go see his father. His father, amen, told him, go take some food to your brothers. And as David is taking food to his brothers, he overhear a conversation, a giant Goliath, amen, standing in the valley and telling them, listen, if your God is who he say he is, amen, well then send one man down here, and the winner of this fight, amen, will give victory, amen, to the Philistines, or victory to the children of Israel. Now, David being a young man, but folks didn't understand, he was a young man that had praise. He was a young man that had experienced supernatural power that came over him to fight a lion, amen, to wrestle against a bear. So David's idea of Goliath, this giant, was a very small matter to him. Who is this uncircumcised giant that defile the children of God? Who is this man that blasphemed the children of God? Now it goes into worship. Listen, this is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to give my father the victory, the one that I praised, amen, in the wilderness. I'm going to worship him in front of all the children of Israel. I'm going to worship him in the presence of diversity. I'm going to worship him in the presence, amen, of danger. I'm going to worship him in the presence of a giant that is taller than me, that is stronger than me. His sword is longer than my sword, but I'm going to speak to him and say, listen, today that the Lord is going to give me victory over all of my enemies, I'm going to worship him right now. I don't need nobody else's helmet. I don't need nobody else's sword. I don't need nobody else's shield. The Lord is my helmet. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my way maker. The Lord is the one that's going to fight for me. The Lord is going to give me victory. And that day, David worshiped him, and David killed a giant Goliath.
Man. So praise is basically what we do.
Amen. Praise is what we do, but worship is who we are. Praise is I thank you, but worship is I thank you because of what you have given me to obtain my victory. And what is that? God, you're giving me you. So I got to praise him, whether it's good or bad, because praise is what I do. Hey!
God bless you and welcome back to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And I'm your host, Minister Martin DeValle, and praise is what I do. My goodness.
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, let that soak in. He sung a song about praise, and in the midst of that praise, he just worshiped the Lord.
Yeah. That keeps you at a silent.
It does. Sometimes, you know, when you know, you gotta just allow silence to come into your life, you know. You just gotta allow the Lord to cultivate, amen, your life, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, they got us meditating and doing all type stuff. But meditating on what? Meditate. I still used to be meditating on me. Because I'm limited. I have to meditate on someone that has unlimited power. Someone that can do the impossible. Amen. Someone that is greater than me. He is my power source. He is the one that I get my power from. So why should I meditate on anything other than him? Because he is the power source.
Yes,
meditation is good, but meditate on the words. Meditate on this word day and night. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth your fruit in due seasons. Oh, my goodness. When you just meditate, amen, on the Lord, and amen, there are people, amen, in this world. There are, amen, listeners, our listeners. We are encouraging you. Listen, you are going through something, and it may or may not end tomorrow. Listen, you may have lost a loved one. And in the midst of you losing the loved one, you still got to praise the Lord. There are so many people who have lost their praise because they lost a loved one. They lost their praise because they lost a loved one. They lost their relationship with God because they lost a loved one. Because something did not go your way. Your prayers wasn't answered. And you are upset. Listen, ain't nobody telling you don't be upset. But that's when you got to praise God. That's when you got to glorify him, because he should mean more to you than anything else. His relationship with you should be so intense that me and him ought to get past some disappointments. Listen, it's okay to be hurt and it's okay to cry, but it's never okay to walk away from God. Eternity is too long to give up on God over temporary relationships, no matter how close you were to them, no matter who they were to you.
Amen.
You cannot lose your praise. You cannot lose your worship. If you are living, then your relationship goes on in the world of life that is called planet Earth. But your relationship with God exceeds past earth. It's an internal relationship. Mm-hmm. Your house, and no matter how beautiful it is, cannot be more important to you than God, because you lost your house. You lost your praise. You lost your worship because you did everything for the man and he still abused you. He still didn't do you right. And because that didn't work out, you fought God. You lost your praise. You lost your worship. Perhaps you know somebody that is in this situation, that is going through this right now. We pray for those that are going through challenging situations that the enemy will use to steal your praise, steal your worship, make you call God a liar. We come against that enemy. We come against that attack. It's all right to be hurt. It's all right to cry. You human. But at some point, you got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, Lord, anyhow, I still love you anyhow. Nevertheless, you're still great.
Nevertheless, you're still wonderful. My heart is weak. My heart is hurt, Lord. Lord, my eyes have shed out tears. But in spite of what my emotions say, Lord, you're greater than my emotions, Lord. You're greater than my hurt. You're greater than my pain. It didn't turn out my way this time, but nevertheless, God, we still bless your name. Nevertheless, God, we still worship your name. Nevertheless, you're still Lord. You're still in control. Nevertheless, you can still heal. Even though my loved one died, I still believe healing for the stranger next door. Lord, I know that you're still a healer. Listen, Lord, what happens to me doesn't disqualify you for who you are.
Amen.
So I praise you in spite of. It's just the principle. You desire all the praise. David writes in Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Lord have mercy. He's saying praise him because he's excellent. Praise him because he's mighty. Praise him because he's good. Praise him because he's merciful. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. It works when it's genuine. David did something that we know that wasn't right. We know that he should have never laid with Bathsheba. That was wrong. No matter how you spin it, it was wrong what he did to that woman's husband. That was wrong. And David took Bathsheba to be his wife after having her husband killed. He married her and she was impregnated and she carried her baby for 9 months. She was emotional, feeling how her baby was moving in her belly. David was emotional. He had a son coming. He was excited. He was happy. You realize that we can do some wrong things and forget how wrong we was, but still hold God to a certain standard. We want God to be the God of his word. But we don't want to be a people of our word.
Yeah.
God as a king should not have to lie. But the children of God, as the children of God, shouldn't have to lie either. So, the children of God, we lie and we want to hold our father to the highest expectation of whatever we ask him he should do. David found himself in a very challenging situation. He had his son. His son was sick. And he did everything that he naturally knew how to do. He put on sackcloth. He fasted. He prayed. He praised. He praised, he praised, he prayed, he fasted, he believed, he fasted, he praised, and he got the report that the child is dead.
So what are you saying, Minister Valley?
When he got the report that his child was dead, the Bible says that he stood up brushed himself off and began to worship.
Amen.
He praised. He prayed. He fasted. He hoped. He sung his songs. But he did not get what he wanted. His friends came back. He looked on them. They looked on him. And he asked them, he said, is the child dead? They said, yes, the child is dead. He gets up, take off the sackcloth, shake himself off, and then worship.
My, my, my.
1 year later, the same woman that he did the same act with, the same woman that was married, got pregnant again. And in her belly, she was carrying a king. Worship brings about a king. When he worshiped God, it was something about the worship that God said, I got to bring a king out of that womb. Because I took his son. And I saw when David was praising me. I saw when David was crying. I saw when David was believing. I saw when David was fasting. I seen his heart. All of his emotions was connected to that child. He know that I could do it if I chose to do it. He seen me rescue him. He seen me give him victory in his life. He rescued sheep out of the hands of lions and bears. He killed a giant. He became a king. So David knew that I had the capability of saving his child. His child never did no harm. His child didn't sin. His child didn't steal. His child was innocent. And because the child was innocent, David was assuming that I should have covered his child because his child was
innocent. WGD Philadelphia, 860 AM.
But in spite of, David didn't get the report that he wanted. David didn't get the reward that he wanted. He got up and he brushed himself off. And God saw it. 1 year later. 1 year later. Bathsheba was carrying in her womb the wisest king to have ever lived. She was carrying a king. And when David was about ready to die, and Absalom and all the other sons was beginning to declare kingdomship, Bathsheba had to remind him that the Lord said that Solomon, Lord have mercy, Solomon, the one that came after your sorrow, the one that brought worship, is coming and he must be king. You notice when Solomon was king, the Bible said that Queen Bathsheba came all the way from the south. And the Bible said that when she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And after hearing the wisdom of Solomon, she worshiped God. It said, we've never seen such wisdom on a man before. Listen, because of his wisdom, it would worship to God. Folks was impressed about the wisdom that God placed into a man and said that there got to be a God. You know, we live in a day and time where folks are telling you all type of other religions and all type of all myths and all this. But listen, I don't know what the Egyptians was worshiping. But I know one thing, that when they came and they got into the presence of Solomon and understood that somebody greater than Solomon gave them this wisdom, that the Bible said that Queen Bathsheba and all of them that came from the south, from the farther parts of Ethiopia and from the farther parts in that region came and they worshiped God. They were impressed. Listen, some of us today are facing turmoil in your life. There is nothing else you can do. You have done all you can do. It's time to worship. You done praised him. You've been praising him for a very, very long time for the good and the bad. But it's time to take the training wheels off of your bike. And it's time to worship God in spite of. And listen, no matter what you do, that's up to you, Lord. I'm still going to bless your name. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to worship you. No matter what bad happened in my life, I'm still going to talk about the goodness of God. It may be challenging, but the fact of the matter is that praise have nothing to do with your emotions. Praise have everything to do with the principle that God can.
Amen.
Even if he didn't do it for me, it don't mean that he won't do it for you. Mm-hmm. Praise. Worship. What you got to say about that?
It's amazing because you find yourself when you're praising him, it's liberating. It's a liberating feeling just to, you know, exalt yourself in who he is. He's God. But when you go to that place of worship, when you go to that place of worship, I could, I'm a witness to it, that it's like a purification.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just bringing you through the fire, purifying everything that's in you, all trials, tribulation, you just giving it to him.
Yes.
And when you in true worship and have a true relationship with him, you walk out of that worship feeling liberated.
Absolutely. Because, you know, worship is, you can only do worship in the presence of God. You can praise him anywhere, but you can only worship in his presence. Mm. The Bible said that the angels worship God day and night saying, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come. And so therefore, when we step into worship, we step out of the body, out of the situation, out of the problems, and step into the presence of God. Mm. Where care can't live in his presence. Fear can't live in his presence. Depression can't live in his presence. You want to get rid of depression? Get some praise going on in the midst of your depression.
Amen. Amen.
Depression can't hang around praise.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
And so now you're in his presence. And when you're in his presence, you realize that everything that I'm going through is temporary. It's going to pass anyhow. There is nothing everlasting on earth but problems.
Yep. That is so true.
But in his presence, it is peace. And what I like about the Lord, he says, you can enter in boldly. You can enter in boldly. But did you realize that sometimes it takes some adversity on earth to get you to want to leave out of earth and get into the presence of the Almighty God?
Because if things was going the way we wanted to go all the time, how many of us would really surrender?
You would have no need for God if things were going good for you all the time.
Amen.
But I'm so glad that we have some hard times that make us sometimes, amen, lose ourselves. And come before God. No one is intended to commit suicide. Suicide must be a lonely place where you feel like you have no other choice to do anything. And there are some folks that are willing to exit stage left rather than come before God. Listen, sometimes the best place is to be when I ain't got nothing else. There is nothing I can do on my own capability or on my own ability. Lord, if you don't do it, then it just ain't gonna get done. But I got news for you. I'm gonna be fine with it. See, that's crazy talk. Lord, if you don't do it, I'm gonna be fine with it. If you do it, then God bless you. And if you don't do it, then God bless you anyhow. It has no meaning emotionally on me, God. I'm not worshiping you based upon an emotional justification or satisfaction. Amen. I'm worshiping you because you're God. That's just because you're God. That's pure worship. A lot of us, we talk with God because we have a hidden agenda. Well, he's God for this week because, you know, I got to pass a test. And the second you pass the test, you done forgot all about who?
My God.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you get serious with God, God gets serious with you. But he still blesses some folks, and he still does what he does, amen, in people's lives. Some people have just reaped the benefit, amen. They are on a level of prosperity God gifted them, and they don't do much of nothing. And you're saying, well, Lord, every time you turn around, God just keep on blessing them. God just keep on blessing them. Don't allow that to offend you, amen. Amen. Get your own personal ship. Your own personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. And walk with the Lord. The Bible says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Listen. All of us has not been spiritually matured to just be insanely, madly, crazy in love with God. let me make this clear. Worship leaders, you know, a lot of worship leaders get a bad rap because a lot of worship leaders are feminine. You know, it's worship is not a masculine thing. You know, worship is when you see men crying, music is soft. Music is a rhythm. Music is a flow. And so you have the musicians of God. Amen. And then you got the warriors of God. And so now the warriors of God is prejudging the musicians of God. Oh, they ain't manly enough. They ain't tough enough. But they walk in worship. Songs come to their head. They can't get away from a melody and a song of how great God is. God is great. God is good. You know, in their daily living, God is producing and manifesting songs, amen, through what they see. They're gentle in handling the music of God. So they know how to get a tune and put a word to the tune and then bring that thing to life when they have true worship. And now we join in and we sing how great is our God. God is an awesome God. Amen. And so you have to understand that, amen, that these people walk in the Spirit of God. They've been called to do it. You know, a lot of them have trouble because you've been called to walk in the Spirit of God and wasn't reared up. You gifted, amen, to walk close with God. So now you can't party like other people because God gifted you to walk close to Him. And now you're looking at the rest of the church who can serve God. It seems like any way they want to serve Him, but you can't because He gifted you and He called you to walk close to Him because He want to whisper things in your ear so that you can speak out of your mouth. So God speaks out of eternity into your natural ear, and now He wants you to speak eternity out of your natural mouth. So God says, you got to be close to me. You can't be contaminated. You can't party like everybody else can party and go to church on Sunday. There are, listen, restrictions on your life. I called you and I sanctified you, so you can't drink like folks can drink. You can't smoke like people can smoke. You got a lot of preachers doing a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing, but they're doing. But when God calls you to walk close to Him,
Come on.
You're set apart. You're sanctified, set apart. And people's job is to try to come unsanctify you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you ain't got to be that deep. No, I don't. But God called me to be deep. Now, He didn't call me to judge you. But don't judge me either. Oh, you ain't perfect. You keep walking close to God. You're going to try to be perfect like you ain't never tried anything else before. You was a perfect liar, a perfect whoremonger, a perfect cursor, a perfect fighter. You was a perfect thief, but you can't, you don't got to be perfect. You can't talk that foolishness to folks who've been called to walk with God.
Amen.
The greatest thing to a person that ever heard from God is David said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit. Take the kingdom. Take the wives. Take all my children. Take all my chariots. Take my money. Take my health. God, take my policies. God, take this, move that, shake that, destroy this. But whatever you do, Lord, don't you take away your Holy Spirit. I can't live without you talking to me. I can't live without you touching me. I can't live without you speaking to me. I can't live without the fellowship. I cannot function without a relationship. So every now and again, I got to pause everything in my life just to make sure I'm hearing from God. And that's why I can't do what you do, because I got to always be in a place, amen, no matter how much adversity I'm around, that I know the voice of God in the midst of hearing all the other voices.
So that way we get no ways tired.
Over my life, all right.
God bless you and welcome back to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I was sitting here listening to that song and the Lord just dropped the rhema word in my spirit. Amen. Listen, you might want to call your girlfriend, call your son into the room. Amen. I believe that this is going to really deliver, amen, you today. Amen. This is going to deliver you, amen, a rhema word. Amen. I speak it into your world. I speak it into your life. I speak this word into your heart. Amen. I prophesy that this word will accomplish what God sent it to do. This word will break God. Amen. Stony heart, hard places in people's life. Lord, this word, your word, Lord, not my word, but your word, Lord, not my power, but your power, Lord, not my healing, but your healing, Lord, will deliver and set free people. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you sent your word and your word healed them. Amen. I want to show you something. Amen. And I'm going to use several different examples, and since we've been talking about David, I want you to see something, and I want you, amen, believers, you pastors and preachers and prophetess, amen, I want y'all to tap into this thing here, because this word is for you also. Listen, David had a praise, amen, on the mountaintops, and no one heard David praising God at his dark moments in his life. No one heard David praise God when he was cold, amen, and shivering, and when David himself was scared, amen. David had no idea what he would be facing the next day, the next moment, and he had no idea what he would be facing in life. But he had those experiences, amen, in a quiet place of his life. Amen. Some preachers, why do you have to be perfect? Why do you have to draw a picture like you ain't got no problems? Listen, that's why folks ain't getting healing, because they're not getting healed off your blessings. They get healed off your problems that God have already solved. We lose our testimony and we lose the power of God healing in our lives because we don't really want to tell folks the truth about us and where we come from. And so we hide that, which means we deprive the power of God moving through our lives in order to bless somebody else's life. Because you want to look good, you want to sound good, you want to talk good, you want to be perfect. But the fact of the matter is that the power of God didn't come into your perfect life. The power of God came into your messed up, upside down, confused, amen, life. And the power of God fixed your life. And because the believers no longer want to talk about how the power of God came and fix your life, we can't transfer power. Isn't it amazing how we can transfer sermons and transfer mighty sweet sounding words, but we can't transfer no power because we don't want to testify about the power of God in our lives. Listen, David have experienced some powerful things on the backside of the mountain. But when David praise got escalated to worship, he worshiped God in the presence of all the children of Israel, because God have given David victory over this uncircumcised giant, which meant that everybody had an opportunity to experience David worship. His worship was through the victory that God have given him over his enemies. Can I get in trouble or just go a little farther today with this here? You got to understand something, that, listen now, when we face adversities in our life, amen, when we as believers, strong believers in the body of Christ, pioneers, seasoned believers, when we're able to testify about how good God was to us when we were in a dark place, isn't it amazing how we can worship God in the presence of other people and bring power into other people's lives? Listen, I know God can do it for you because he's done it for me. Watch this now. Worship. God likes to magnify worship. God likes to show himself, amen, through your worship. Nobody told us that your worship, amen, brings God to where you're at. When people are worshiping God, God comes to sit among those that worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. And when we leave our natural state, our natural place, the natural way that we think, and get into worship, we leave the carnality world and we go into the spiritual world, and we invite God in the problem, God in the situation. I know some folks want to come and say sweet words, and that's why ain't nobody getting healed, because you got sweet words. But when you come with power, when you come with worship, healing take place, deliverance take. Can I just get crazy in here for one moment? Because we've been playing church too long, because why? We coming with good words and good sounding words, but worship is the manifestation of your true praise. And praise come from the experience that I've had with God. But when we want to talk sweet words, we deprive the dunamis, the power, the Holy Spirit of God to take place. Listen, David said, I'm going to worship in front of all y'all. Who is this uncircumcised giant? If you got somebody sick, call my name, because I want to come worship with y'all when somebody's sick. You got somebody dying, I want to come worship with y'all because somebody's dying. Somebody's having a nervous breakdown. Could you give me a call, because I want to come worship. Ah, I'm going to get in trouble here. Worship is not entertainment, but worship is warfare. Worship is warfare because worship is not only going to declare the power of God, but God is going to demonstrate himself through the form of worship. Worship is something that is temporary. It is not something that goes on for hours and hours because your body cannot sustain the anointing of God. But worship is temporary. It's the highest point because the presence of God now have come into the atmosphere. So if you want to go to the hospital, don't go with a sad sermon and don't go with a sorry scripture, but go to have some pure worship. Because when you worship around God, everything dead got to come alive. Everything sick got to get healed. Ah, they said they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth, which meant they must be on the same level. They must be on the same page that God is not just a healer, but God is going to heal. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, that he sent some disciples in the upper room, and the Bible says that they all got on one accord and began to worship God. And when they got on one accord and began to worship God, the Bible said that the Spirit of the living God, the dunamis power of God, it came into the room and filled the room, and it set on their head as cloven of fire, and they all began to speak in different tongues that the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Saints, I want to tell you something. If you want your child to get off of drugs, I think we ought to start worshiping over our children. If you want the husband to stop cheating on you, I think that we need to start worshiping in front of them. If you want healing to take, I'm going to get in trouble here, but if you want it to take place, can we just get together, amen, and worship? Because the Bible says, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. There ain't a lot of worshiping going on. There's some wonderful sermons that we got to write now. We're writing sermons. Sermons shouldn't be written. Sermons should be given to you. Sermons should be given to you. If God ain't speaking in your ears and you speaking what God speaks into your ear and it manifests in the natural, then come back out in the spirit, then you ought to not say anything. Get a word from the Lord. That's why ain't nothing being done. You preached a powerful message, amen, according to your own ability. But it's not powerful until God get into it. It's not powerful until the Holy Ghost get into it. I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to really not like me on this one. But listen, this is for somebody. This is for somebody. The pioneers is dying. They're getting old. And a lot of the young are compromising. And you're compromising your power. Power over the enemy. The word says that Jesus gave us power to tread on the enemy and serpents. And over all his powers, he's given us power to do those things. But we have compromised the power, so we just have power to make somebody think that we are something that we're really not. But you ain't fooling the enemy. You ain't fooling the devil. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I do. He watches me. And you know something? What delivers you to the person that has the gift, but you experience defeat in your life? It's the love that God has given you for the sheep that makes you say, Lord, I can't play games no more. People are really dying. And if I could have just exercised my faith on the level that you put it, I prayed for him. I said, Lord, touch him. But I didn't exercise my faith on the level that God have given me to exercise my faith on, because I'm not in the place that I need to be on the place. Oh, sickness hurt you, but you wasn't on the place where sickness now responds to you. And you know that person didn't make it because you wasn't in your rightful place. Oh, you know, you say, only if I would have just been consecrated, only if I would have just been focused. Folks are dying because we're not in our rightful place. The worshipers aren't worshiping because they're worrying about bills. They're worrying about things. And God didn't call you to worry. He called you to worship.
Amen.
You can't take the house, the car, the bills with you when you leave. So why are you going to allow the frustration of it to cause you to leave? when you worship, you realize that a bill is just a bill. A house is just a house. A car is just a car. When you worship, you realize the problem is nothing less or nothing more than a problem that can be resolved, that can be solved by you or somebody else in the kingdom of God. See, there are some problems that you have that you are not capable of resolving. But we have brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that are a little stronger than you are. And they're not worshiping, so they're not sensitive to what you're going through. So they don't know how to come into the house of God or walk up to you and bless you because God put in their heart to bless you. They're concerned about how you're going to take it. Listen, when you worship, you're able to operate fully in the Spirit of God and do what God tells you to do in the Spirit without allowing the carnality or the carnal things of earth to stop you from doing what God called you to do in the Spirit. And so therefore, the enemy are allowing us to become blood clogs. And so the heart of God is trying to go forth through the veins to meet the needs of the people. But we have allowed the enemy to put clogs to where we're not really getting the full potency of what God is trying to give to us. Because there's a clog right there. The arteries are being clogged up. And God is saying, free yourself up from this foolishness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and these things that you are worshiping, I'll give them to you. They ain't nothing. I got them all tied up for you in the spirit room. Just keep on holding on. Just keep on keeping on. We're compromising what God has for us for temporarily things that don't mean us no good. Mm-mm-mm. Praise. Clear that mind up. That's why when you come back in this body, it ain't as bad as you thought it was. After you get that good cry off, amen, dust yourself on off, wash your face, amen, you can breathe again. You can think again. Amen, you can start figuring some stuff out now, can't you? Huh? Oh, it's tight, but it's right. Minister Martin DeValley rightly dividing the word of truth. You better watch out, world, because we coming. I'm not tired. You tried to work on me, but I'm not tired. That Holy Spirit gave me a second wind. Oh, I believe I can make it now. Oh, yeah. I've come too far. Too many victories God have given me. Ah, to turn back now. And ain't nobody mad but the devil.
fall and just leave me. I'm gonna say it one more time. I don't feel no waste time. Sing it for the key.
Come to pardon where I saw.
God bless you. Welcome back to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I'm your host, Minister Mark DeValle. Amen. And we are listening, amen, to the music of I Don't Believe He Brought Me This Far. Amen. To leave me. To abandon me. Oh, I just believe that He died for me that I might live. He went through too much for me. I just need to get connected with Him. We want to put this petition that you can get connected with God. You can get connected with your father. We know you didn't have a great biological father. Ah, but you got a good father. And He's been watching you. He sees you right where you are. He's waiting for you to call out on His name. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, fix it. Lord, fix it. Fix my mind. Fix my mind. Fix my heart. Fix my heart. You know, we focus too much on the natural. We know by His stripes we're healed. But Lord, some of us are sick in our spirits. Oh, yes, Lord, we at the end of the rope. We don't know which way to turn. And we can listen to the believers. And they're still telling you, oh, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years, for 60 years, for 70 years. Oh, and I might not live in the house on the hill, and I might not drive the Cadillac or the Rolls Royce. But only if you can see the victory that God has given me in my life. Oh, only if you can see the strength that He's given me when my sisters died and my brothers died and my siblings died. And I've looked up and I'm the only one here on earth. I'm all by myself. And every day God has given me strength to make it, strength to go on, strength to do it. Listen, I can't have no more children. I ain't buying no new house. I'm not interested in driving no fancy car. But God has brought me a long way. Come on. If that's not your testimony, you should get linked up with the Lord. Amen. And share that testimony that God is good and His mercy. Listen, that's why David said God is good and His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And to His kingdom, there is no end. Come on, Sister Valier, give us a word.
You're right. There's no end to God's grace and mercy. I mean, I worship Him daily. I praise Him because He is magnificent. He is omniscient. He has been the be-all, end-all in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, just when you look over your life and you look at your children and you look at all the negative as well as the positive.
Amen.
It just make you say, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyhow.
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 It's like, Lord, I praise You for sending me this crazy husband of mine. Listen, what? Lord, yes. I do praise You. He work hard. Lord, He loves You. Amen.
But my praise got him here. But now my worship got to get him just a little more higher, a little more closer. Yeah. My worship got to cut off some of the things that I might not. Come on, talk to me.
Hallelujah.
My worship got to cut off some of the things that hurted him, some of the things that try to kill him. I praise you because you brought him into my atmosphere. You brought him into my presence.
Amen.
But I'm going to worship you because you got him here alive just in the nick of time so I can lay hands on him. I can lay hands on
her.
Oh, I praise you for the husband. I praise you for the wife, but I'm worshiping you because what you can do out of the relationship. I'm worshiping you because you're going to take this thing higher. I see some things. I saw it, Lord. I worship you for what you're going to do in her life. Oh, come on. I worship you for my children. I worship you for my daughters. I worship you for my grandchildren. You didn't have to let me live to see it, but you did, and I just can't let them live any kind of way that they want. I got to worship you. So when they come over the house, I got to lay hands on them. I got to pray on them. I got to speak kind things into their heart. I got to prophesy victory and success into their life.
Yes, God.
I worship you.
Yes, and that's true worship.
I worship you.
That's true worship. That's the relationship.
Yes, because you have given me the ability to see what's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I worship you for giving me a seeing eye. I worship you, Lord, for giving me a teaching spirit. So now, Lord, the things that would cause them to get ugly and get disrespectful, Lord, teach them not to worship that, but teach them to worship you in bad things. Let not bad things cause them to act ugly, but let bad things reflect that they ain't got to respond in a nasty, ugly way, but they can praise you over praising the enemy. They can praise you over praising the attitude. They can praise you over praising a negative word. They can praise you over being ugly and nasty. They can praise you. Lord, thank you for giving me the worship that I can show folks how to worship you when they really want to act a fool. Come on now. I got to go higher in you. I got to go higher in you. My praise got to be sincere so that my worship can be more effectful for people.
Yes, because people is definitely watching. People is watching. But most of all, he is watching. He's watching how we handle things. He's watching how we protect the things that means most to us. So, you know, I thank God every day, and I just prayed and asked him to always just reveal, just keep revealing himself to me.
Amen.
Reveal himself to me. And as he revealed himself to me, it's just so evident how he's just walking by with us day for day. Hour for hour.
Yes.
Hour for hour.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And he does definitely give you peace in the storm. Last night when you were saying, what you were just saying, when you in true worship and praise, it'll calm any anxiety and it'll calm any fears, you know. So when those emotions start stirring up, I put my gospel music on and it's a peace just come over
Amen.
You.
Amen.
So if sometimes, you know, in the natural, you could fall victim to that emotion and you have to know how to turn it around in the spirit. And in the spirit is nothing but praise and worship. And you'll see a big calm will come into your life.
Yes.
He redirects you. So I thank God for him.
It's like
for knowing him.
Amen. It's like God is the God of your soul, your inner being. But that devil knows how to be the God of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible says that the God of your spirit fights against the God of your emotions.
Yeah.
The voice of God that speaks through your spirit that speak against your emotions. And the Bible says that the devil that speaks through your emotions that fight against your spirit.
Come on.
I'm going to get in trouble on this one. God speaks through your spirit to your emotions, and the devil speaks through your emotions to your God. And it seems that we have become more emotional than spiritual. And so therefore the enemy speaks failure, and that's why so many people are compromising, soothing their emotions and not building up your spirit. This is a spiritual warfare.
Yes, it is.
And so the Bible said that the spirit warfs against the flesh and the flesh warfs against the spirit. And so therefore the spirit that speaks the word of God that brings your flesh under subjection, and the enemy the God of emotions speak through your emotions and tell you that God ain't God and God ain't working and God ain't moving. Listen, because God is not in the building of, is in the business of healing your emotions. God is in the business of healing your being. My emotions is not me. I rule over my emotions. I can't allow my emotions to rule over me. I've done that for a very long time. I was uncontainable, uncontrollable. The Bible said that man is like a city with broken down walls. He don't know what he gonna say, what he gonna do. So we got to learn how to say, Lord, give me victory over myself. And the way you do that is you build up your spirit man. David said in Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I like when he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. You know, David had a desire of the Lord. He says that I will seek his face, that I may dwell in the Lord's house all the days of my life, to inquire of the Lord in his temple. For in the time of my trouble, he shall rise me in his provision. In the secrets of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in this presence the sacrifice of joy. The sacrifice of joy meaning there is nothing joyful going on in my life. I'm in a dark place right now. Everything is ugly. But in the midst of myself, in the midst of my emotions, feeling everything that is ugly, I got to see everything that is great.
Yes.
And I got to see that everything that is great, knowing that God is greater, God is more powerful, God can't fail, God can't lie. Listen, God is great. He's a great God. I got to see my great God. And I got to introduce my emotions to my great God and allow the power of my great God to succumb and overcome the weakness of my emotions. So I now live by what I see and not by what I feel, because I see God. I'm walking with God. My eyes is on God. He's ordering my footsteps. My eyes is not on my emotions. So the things that the enemy is speaking to me through my emotions, I am tearing it down through my spirit with the word of God. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all I'm able to think or ask. This season must end. But guess what? While I'm going through, God is causing me to be stronger. God is causing me to be wiser. This thing is not here for me to die, but this thing is here for me to live. This thing is not here for me to get weak. This thing is here for me to get strong. I welcome adversity because my promotion comes from it.
Amen.
And now I rule over my flesh. I rule over my emotions. I rule over my feelings. Because I know that 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 I know I am who I am because of whom I belong to. And he's done too much for me just to leave me behind. Jesus said that if there was 100 sheep and one was missing, if there was 99, he's turning back around for the one. He's going to leave the 99 right where they are. And he's coming back for the one. And he says, all I'm going to do is speak my word. And he says, if my sheep know my voice, when they hear it, they'll return. God is speaking through these airwaves to his lost sheep. Can you hear his voice? Something is tugging at your heart. Something is tugging through your head. Can you hear his voice? Perhaps you're tired of being fearful. Perhaps you're tired of being scared. Maybe you're tired of being bullied, pushed around. Maybe you've been in a place for a long time and there have been so many people that you've been trying to please and you've been trying to get their attention, but they've been ignoring you. And you know that you're ready to be promoted, but people won't promote you. They pretend that they don't see you. You know they see you, but they won't promote you. They won't give no worship around you, so they won't introduce you to people that can bless your life. They keep you a secret. They keep you in the praise department. When they need you, they call on you for their little small events because they know that God have called you to do some great things, so they won't worship with you in that atmosphere. Oh, you know who I'm talking to. Don't allow it to cause you to come become bitter. You just start worshiping God in your bathroom. Worshiping God in your living room. Worshiping God and start going for walks and talking to the wind and talking to the trees. God is preparing a people for you as we speak now. And your worship is going to bring you before them. And when you talk, souls are going to listen. Lives are going to be transformed. Just say, Lord, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Some of you, you can't breathe. You've done all you can do, and you're at your last breath in life. Just say, Lord, breathe on me. Lord, just breathe on me. Hover all around me. Give me the early rain and the latter rain, all in the same rain, Lord. I can't live without you. God did not give you the spirit of fear. But that don't mean fear is not coming to you to trouble you. The enemy want to fear you to smoking weed. Believers are smoking weed now. Blood washed, born again believers is compromised in who they are. And they ain't got no I would have no words, but give me all the power in my life. See, when you got power, people ain't going to want to be around you because they can't influence you to do what they do. That's why I ain't got many friends. Because they ain't going to influence me to compromise. I got my own weakness I got to deal with. How big dog if I'm going to deal with your weakness? Wolves and sheep clothing. There's a certain way a man of God should conduct himself. There's a certain way a woman of God should conduct himself. Babies cry, but pioneers should be pioneers. Pioneers shouldn't be compromising. Babies cry. Babies need milk. Milk is food to babies. But milk ain't food to adults. So why are adults still trying to drink milk? Make you wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. That's the sin-sick souls that we struggle with. Sin-sick souls.
Well, I'm just believing God for my life and what God's going to do in my life. And I ain't compromising. Either you're going in my direction or we ain't going nowhere. It's just as simple as that. And, you know, that's just who God called me to be.
Amen.
And can't nobody be you like you.
Exactly.
And so, you know, praise is what we do. You know, I saw what God done in my life. God blessed me. But God didn't bless me for me to be at peace. God didn't bless me. People say, why you work so much? Man, I'm working for some people. I haven't met them yet. Mm-hmm. I'm working for an army. I haven't met them yet. They're going to need help. God got provision. I'm working because there's ministries over in Australia. There's ministries in England. There's ministries over in India. There's ministries over in Africa, and they need this. And I must repent because I've been sinning. I haven't sinned much out there. I got to start looking where God want me to send his money. I got to start fellowshipping with people that God want me to fellowship with.
Amen.
And as I begin to mature and begin to become seasoned, some of you got to mature and get seasoned in the Lord. And that means you're going to walk away from some folks, but God's going to bring you in the presence of others.
Amen.
That's what worship do. David had one best friend. You know what his name was? Jonathan. Because he was able to withstand David's worship. The king wasn't. He was not able to withstand the worship. He got jealous when David killed Goliath. He thought of ways of how he can kill David. He pursued him place after place, event after event, year after year, because he couldn't stand David worship. He couldn't get past how God moved. That's why Saul was no good. Because he saw that David only could do what David did because the hand of God was on his life. And he still tried to kill him. People will kill you in spite of them knowing that the anointing of God is on your life. People will backstab you knowing that the hand of God is on your life. People will deliberately disrespect you because they know that God had put an authority in your life. People will make you feel like nothing because they know that God has called you to be something. You got to live. People are the most dangerous beings or creatures on the earth. The Bible says that if their heart don't convict them, then they're just wicked. They're sneaky, they're cunning, they're conniving. They're slick, they're backsliding. You better keep your eyes on God and leave the people to God to worry about. People could be your mother. People could be your father. People could be your sister. People can be your brother. People can be your cousins. People can be your neighbors, and people can be your enemies. Here's the most dangerous thing that people have. It's called choice. They can choose to play any role they want to play in your life. So don't you let people put you up too high, because when they get tired of you, they'll drop you, and it's a long fall. Don't let people make you think that you are better than yourself, because they'll leave you when they get good and ready to. Don't let people put you in your position, because when you start telling them the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, they will move you from that position. Don't praise people. Don't worship people, but praise God and worship God. You know what? I'm going to say this in my closing. Listen, the Pharisees challenged Jesus, and they says, listen, we found a corn here, and the corn has a description of the governor, Caesar. And Jesus says, let me see that corn. He says, let me see that corn. And they showed him the corn, and he says, who description is on this corn? And they said, Caesar. He says, well, listen. Let the people worship Caesar. Amen. But he says, and let them worship the things of Caesar. But he says, let the people worship God. Listen. He says, don't contaminate the two now. So he goes and sends Peter down to the river and tells him to cast his fishing rod over. And he says, the first fish that comes up, I want you to open his mouth and pull out a coin and give Caesar what Caesar needs. Caesar wanted his taxes. Caesar wanted to take your money. God wanted to use your life for his glory. God wants to use your life for his glory. And we believe in God for you. We believe in God for you.
So we thank you for listening to Rightly Divided, the Word of Truth. That was truly a good word today, Minister Martin. Please join us next Wednesday and every Wednesday here on WWDB 860 AM. Praise versus worship, because he is truly that kind of friend. Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.